Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
He's a legend in Houston and a legend in all of baseball. We're talking about Nolan Ryan, and recently that movie was released, Facing Nolan. It's gotten a lot of praise locally. Everybody that sees it says that it's excellent. So you need to know about this. One night only, tonight, theaters all over Houston, you can see the movie Facing Nolan. It's the ultimate Nolan Ryan documentary. Nolan Ryan's numbers tell a story, but numbers alone do not capture the essence. Flashpoints have emblazoned him onto our subconscious. This is the description of the movie, the documentary. I've heard it's really good. So here's what you do. You go to fathomevents.com, tickets on sale, put in your zip code, and you can see Facing Nolan, the documentary. It's awesome. I've heard nothing but good things. I'm looking forward to seeing this. And you're wearing your jersey.
Hell yeah.
A little Tequila Sunrise action over there.
A little Nolan Ryan jersey. Yeah, you know. Is there going to be a part in this movie where Nolan Ryan beats up Robin Ventura? I mean, that's...
Don't know if they include that.
I hope that's in it. Can we have that as like the... In the end credits, can we have Nolan Ryan just beating the hell out of Robin Ventura?
I love a good documentary. Usually those about like Ted Bundy, but every now and then I'll watch
Yeah, you like your murder documentaries. There's Nolan Ryan has only murdered batters at the plate figuratively with strikeouts.
Murder is not as mean if Nolan Ryan does it. All right, so I had a conspiracy theory a couple of weeks ago, guys, if you'll remember, when Tom Brady, it was announced, would take over the number one color commentary chair and then be a quote-unquote brand ambassador for Fox. I said that I thought it wouldn't be just for Fox Sports. I thought that it would be Fox, and Brady eventually may enter the political realm. Why did I think this? It involves succession. It involves Lachlan Murdoch, who's going to be taking over for his dad when he dies, supposedly, etc. Now, there's beef among Fox Sports and Fox. John Oren, sports media reporter, says that Fox Sports issued a statement on the financial reports about Tom Brady's deal. Quote, what has been reported is an inaccurate description of the deal, and we have not released details beyond what was closed on our quarterly earnings call. Well, today, Fox CEO Lachlan Murdoch responded and said, no, those figures are right. It's 10 years, $375 million. So, apparently, Fox Sports doesn't know exactly how much Tom Brady is going to make, but Fox does, which kind of feeds into my conspiracy. Do I sound like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat? Yeah, maybe.
A little bit. Well, I wonder just how into anything that he really is right now outside of playing football.
Because you think he's just still so focused on football.
I think so. I mean, I really think that this entire offseason was about him trying to get elsewhere and go somewhere else, whether that was Miami, as had been rumored, or it was potentially somewhere like, I don't know, how about...
Miami was the rumor, for sure.
San Francisco was the other one that, right, I think had been floated as a possibility, which would have been really weird considering that, yeah, Trey Lance is there and they traded all those picks to get Trey Lance. But Brady, of course, grew up there, and I'm sure that there's a part of him that would like to play for the team that he grew up rooting for. Fox has to do this, too. I mean, the reported number is so ridiculous that you have to put some sort of damage control out there. How much you do, I don't know, but we're talking about a $400 million contract over 10 years for a guy who hasn't even done it yet in the wake of Drew Brees being pretty bad at a similar job with a track record that obviously isn't that of Tom Brady, but I mean,
he's got a damn good resume. It certainly dwarfs anything Tony Romo's ever done over the course of his career.
This also could be other Fox commentators and people that work for Fox that saw that number and said, okay, well, guess what? My contract's coming up, and if you want to keep me, you got to give me a little bit of that Brady money. So it'll be interesting to see how that close out. I always think that sports media things are fascinating. With Tom Brady, it is even more fascinating because it was a historic deal with so much money. And by the way, we don't know when it's going to happen. All right, let's talk about the Astros, guys. Last night, the Astros falling to the Cleveland Guardians 6-1. Not a great game for the pitching, not a great game for the defense, really no firing on all cylinders, which is what we have seen from the Astros the last couple days against the Rangers.
Yeah, the offense, it's whenever a night like this takes place, I get a little frustrated because it's just happened a lot to this point this year, but it was sloppy, and these sloppy games are going to happen from time to time. Luis Garcia had a really bad just boner of a play where ball comes to him at the mound. He turns around. I don't know why he thought he was going to be able to get Miles Straw going to second base, trying to get two, I'm guessing. He missed second base by like a good 6 to 10 feet. Throws it into the outfield. Two runs score. But it wasn't really going to matter on a night where the Astros just couldn't do anything. Altuve had a double. Bregman hit a home run. But it was just difficult.
Not a great night. The start of a 3-game series, though, so no doubt that they can bounce back. Luis Garcia, his last start in Boston was not great. This start was a little bit better. He had 2 innings that were decent, and then it kind of fell apart in the 3rd inning. Are you worried about Luis Garcia and what you're seeing from him, or do you think it's just a little bit of a May type of slump?
Worried's always a strong word, but with the way that he had been pitching, to see him follow up those 2 back-to-back starts where he had 9 strikeouts plus each with a start, back-to-back starts like this, it's a bummer, and it does just force you to remember that, yeah, Lance McCullers is not in this rotation. Optimally, Lance McCullers would be in this rotation. I'm not saying that would force Luis Garcia out. It's just with Garcia, with Framber Valdez, and with Urquidy, you got 3 guys who there's a lot of up and downs with. And while they have all, for the most part, been very consistent this year, you are going to get moments like that from them because they're all imperfect.
Jeremy Pena, we've been really spoiled with Jeremy Pena because he's so young. He's so good. He's really done a great job filling the impossible shoes of Carlos Correa. But he had, I mean, it's not his first silly play, but it might be the one that we've seen him where you look at that and you go, yeah, that's a young guy messing up a double play.
Look, it happens with guys at shortstop from time to time. You know, you have so many balls come your way, you're bound to mess up a couple. And with all the web gems that he has done thus far this year, fine. So not concerned in the slightest about Pena having a little gaffe. I'm just waiting for that slump because it just feels like all of this is too good to be true. What we have gotten out of Jeremy Pena, it's been crazy. The power, the hitting, the confidence, everything that he has brought to the table thus far has really been surprising. And I know we were trying to figure out what this actually meant, but I guess I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop just because he has been awesome. Like, he really has been. He has exceeded everyone's expectations to this point. I'm sure he's even exceeded his own. I doubt he thought he was going to come in and be as on top of things as he's been to open things up. But man, he looks like he is a veteran for the most part.
There was a run last night. It was a homer. It was a Breggy bomb. This was good to see from Alex Bregman because Alex Bregman has definitely been in a slump. And he had talked before the game about adjusting his swing a little bit and trying to get it back to normal. And he was able to hit that home run, which I think was good for Alex Bregman and his mindset, although he's never really a worrier either.
No, that's true. I feel like with Bregman, with Altuve, you are seeing some signs that make you feel like, okay, eventually we're going to see less of these games where the Astros are scoring only a couple of runs. But of late, again, it's and not of late, just this whole year, it's been the pitching that has been powering them for the most part. The hitting has yet to catch all the way up. You're getting it from Altuve. You're getting it from Bregman. But I don't know what it is. It's frustrating, that's for damn sure. I know at some point, check that. I can't say I know at some point. I feel like at some point it will be better than this, but we're talking about an almost 2-month sample size.
Who should get a tribute video? We asked that question at the beginning of the show because Miles Straw got an emotional and a lot of round of applause. He got a tribute video from the Astros. I've heard Tony Kemp. I've heard Justin Reed. What are the requirements for this, Sean and Paul? Because Miles Straw was not like a super superstar for the Astros. And as Sean pointed out, how many games did he play over 4 years?
I think it was 196.
Yeah, it was something like that. So who should get a tribute video? What are the requirements here, people?
I mean, someone texted in earlier, Josh Reddick would have made sense for a tribute video.
Did he not get one?
I'm assuming he did.
He had to have gotten a tribute video.
Has he played for another team?
He may not be.
I know he went to Arizona after leaving the Astros, but I'm not sure.
He would have had to play for another team that plays against the Astros. I would assume that they played against Arizona.
When I put Josh Reddick tribute video on Twitter, the thing that comes up is from 2014, check out A's outfielder Josh Reddick's awesome tribute to the Ultimate Warrior because he was really into all of that. Remember he would wear the wrestling suits or whatever.
Yes, he would. And you would hear the woos.
WWE fanatic.
Throughout the ballpark whenever. I got to say, though, in this situation that you're giving Miles Straw one. It continues to diminish him. Really. You don't even need to have a qualifier for this, do you? You just know when someone deserves one.
Does Derek Fisher, the former Astro outfielder, get one? Because he literally played the same role of like pinch runner sometimes in the outfield.
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, come on. You're a hater.
No,
You're a Derek Fisher hater.
No. You know who gets a... You know which Derek Fisher gets a tribute video? The one who played for the Lakers in the NBA. That one gets
when
a tribute video.
When you said that name, that's who I thought of, and I thought that's incredibly random.
Yeah. No, that's why I had to say Astros outfielder Derek
Fisher. Okay, does Deshaun Watson get a tribute video? I mean, I think that's it's an actual question.
No, he won't.
If he's playing in the game that the Browns, but when they come to NRG.
Had the sexual misconduct allegations not happened, it would have been on the table, I think.
I say definitely not the first year, but if they play again in like 3 years or something, like with how the schedule rotates, and then he's back in NRG.
I think they would do it at first.
Really?
If they were going to do it at all.
I don't know. I don't think they would have done it immediately.
Somebody said Josh James. Somebody said Forrest Whitley.
I do have the 2017 Astros roster up.
You know what? How about we continue this conversation on the other side where we just list, does this guy deserve a tribute video?
Nori Okoye.
Right. I was glad that AJ Hinch got a tribute video. AJ deserved one. All right. And you know what? You deserve to spend less money on your home insurance. So listen to me, okay? If you own your home, grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You know you pay too much for home insurance. I know you do, but you don't shop for those better rates because it's a big hassle. But it does not have to be anymore thanks to TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you that full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but the single text. And you're going to save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address, send it back, and you get that full quote with great coverage within 15 seconds. This company is real. The savings, the real deal. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from last year saved over $870 on home insurance. So again, I know you don't like to shop for it, but take out your phone, text money to 232323, get your home insurance quote, and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We are getting some good answers for who should get a tribute video versus who shouldn't. I was asking about Deshaun Watson. I don't think he'll get one because of the allegations, but somebody brought up on the text line, well, without the allegations, he shouldn't have even gotten one because he requested a trade. I think he would have gotten one had he not had the creepy allegations.
James Harden requested a trade. Didn't James Harden
get one? James Harden checked out on the entire city.
The day
and wore a fat suit.
The day after he got traded, I think Tillman Fertitta said, "We're going to retire his jersey one day."
Yes.
So there's no like hard feelings, like buffer time. It was all like, nope, we love him still.
He did. I remember that.
Chris Paul probably got one. Dwight Howard probably got one. Chandler Parsons probably did not get one.
I was going to say, did Chris Paul get one while Harden was still on the team?
I don't know.
We can't pick side, you know?
Russell Westbrook had to get one because he probably bullied the Rockets PR into making him get one. Because the Rockets are kind of pushovers these days.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have gone out of their way with guys who have left to be like, but we really appreciated your time here.
Did
they
Victor Oladipo get one?
Probably.
When he came back with the
legend. Victor Oladipo sings Usher very well. He did it at the Indiana Talent Show.
He has albums on Spotify.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yes. Texter brings up Ed Reed. Remember when the Texans signed Ed Reed? Oh my God, that was a disaster. Except for the part where Ed Reed called out the entire Texans coaching staff and then was promptly released. Because he was right! He was right. Everyone gets mad about that side of things. But I remember when Ed Reed said all those things, and I was like, well, I mean, what is he wrong about? Like, they're essentially just running the same game plan week in, week out. Kubiak, Wade Phillips, it was time. It was time to move on, for the Texans to move on from those two.
Someone said Ken Giles.
What are you going to throw, like a slow motion video of Ken punching himself in the face up there? I mean, God, he was such a nightmare in those playoff games even, too. Like,
some of these are clearly sarcastic, but it is worth asking.
I think they're all sarcastic.
It is worth asking if Miles Straw got one, and I like Miles.
Because if someone said before last night that Miles Straw was going to get a tribute video, we would have thought they're being sarcastic.
Right, yep. We would have laughed.
Like, that's why this barrier has been broken of, we can say, does Jake Mariznick get one?
Yeah, he should.
Actually,
he's dreamy.
Oh.
What?
Okay.
Everyone thinks so.
So, Jake Mariznick, yes, dreamy.
Thank you.
Nice size.
He's got the hair.
Like he's the hair.
It's the hair.
Like everything works with Jake Mariznick. I will say that.
Rockets legend Carmelo Anthony forgot he was there. That's a good point.
DeMarcus Cousins
also forgot he was there. Good enough players based off of their career body of work to get
Hall
them.
Hall of Famers.
Oh, there's one whose name is eluding me right now. I mean, you can't give one to Brock Osweiler. You just can't. There are so many just random basketball players that have stopped in here for a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson!
He got game 7 minutes against the Warriors.
Josh Smith deserved one for the game 6 comeback.
That should just be his highlight video. It's just that game.
Was Luis Scola in Houston at any point?
Oh, yeah.
He was, right?
Yeah. He was their best player at one point.
So Luis was also... I liked him. He was with the Pacers when I was there.
Trevor Ariza.
No. You saw in the Dallas Warriors game 3 Sunday night, Reggie Bullock went like 0-for-9 or something. I was joking that it's like, wow, Trevor Ariza tribute performance. And then a stat came out that he's the last guy to shoot like 9 times in a playoff game.
Really?
And miss all 9.
Oh boy.
Since Trevor Ariza.
Oh boy. I forgot. Yeah, that was a rough one. Someone texted in Alex Cora.
Oh yeah, this is where, okay, I was getting Rockets confused with Suns. Luis Scola was in Phoenix as well, but he was only there for a year.
No, like everyone knows Luis Scola for his time here.
And
during
great.
The days of Kevin Martin and Luis Scola and like Kyle Lowry with a bad attitude.
Does Chase Budinger get a tribute video?
I'm just thinking of
Shane Battier.
Bill Worrell used to have some ridiculous calls, and I remember every time that Chase Budinger hit a three. Hey, bud, let's party. From Atascocita.
Yeah.
Hey, bud, let's party.
So Boot Crew Media, which is a Boot Crew Media.
Boot Crew,
it's a Saints, like a Saints fan type deal.
No.
They responded to Ross Tucker, does NFL.
John Wall would
just
be.
Put up John Wall's contract in the rafters.
And how much they paid him.
That would be rock
bottom. Once went to a restaurant with Steven Silas. And Rafael Stone.
Has he even attended a Rockets game?
No.
Like, has he even gone to one?
I was going to say, put pictures of him, like, on the sideline, but I don't think he ever went to a game.
Sorry. All right.
No, do you remember when Rafael Stone was like, I mean, we talked it over like men. Like, we went to a restaurant. Like, we just decided that it wasn't the best thing for the team. Okay. Yeah, Ross Tucker, who covers the NFL, former NFL player, of course, talked about the fact that he thought that with Jameis coming off the injury, Sean Payton stepping away, the Saints losing Armstead, I picture them being around a 500 ball club. I really do. Nobody else thinks the Saints are as good as they think they are. That's what Ross Tucker said. Now, obviously, Saints fans are very irritated. I've been saying this since the offseason. I get so tired of hearing people say that the Saints are going to be good, that the Saints have a great, whatever, quote-unquote, brand culture, because these are not your mama's Saints. Sean Payton's not there anymore. Drew Brees, of course, isn't there. RIP, but their owner even died. I mean, there's just not a lot of those weapons. I think that it's a completely different franchise.
They're the Aints now. It's
God.
It's back.
Are you ready to be a dad? Because that was a very... He just said the Saints are the Aints.
Well, that's what they were for their entire history. Ask any Saints fan about what they were prior to, like, 2008. I mean, there was a brief stretch in the early 2000s where randomly Aaron Brooks, not the guy who played for the Rockets, but another Aaron Brooks, led them to a couple of playoff appearances. I think they actually beat the then-defending champion Rams. But that was it. Those were the days of Jim Haslett, and I think it was Deuce McAllister there at that point in time. That was a long time ago. And, I mean, remember, like, one of the biggest moments in franchise history was when they traded an entire draft class so that they could draft Ricky Williams. There's no Sean Payton. There's no Drew Brees. You have Jameis Winston having very awkward interviews. We might need to play a clip from that. I saw one go viral over the week.
He said, like, that he realized at one point that he didn't love football. He loved playing football.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. It's
compelling stuff.
Thanks, Jameis. So this is what you have. They have a good defense. Don't get me wrong. They've had a good track record against the Bucks, but, I mean, they didn't make the playoffs last year. Would they have made the playoffs with a fully healthy Jameis Winston for 17 games? I guess you could make that argument if you really want to, but he's so up and down. I don't think you can say anything declarative about them. And without Sean Payton, who I think is a little overrated in the grand scheme of things, but is still a damn good coach and put together a really successful program for a decade plus, it's hard to do that. You don't have him anymore. It's weird that they are getting as upset as they are. I get it. You're passionate, all those things. But, I mean, you know your history. What have you been without Sean Payton?
Jameis Winston licking his fingers, doing the W thing. I would like to have Jameis Winston in Houston simply for the entertainment factor, right? Those would be fun press conferences.
Yeah. Yes, those would be. He is an interesting person. And obviously he's got some off the field history.
Yeah, going from Watson to Winston would be, I don't know, maybe the Texans have a type.
The good thing is you just created the Chronicle's headline. If that happens, from Watson to Winston. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, from Russell Wilson to Peyton Manning. It makes me want to vomit just talking about it, but that's the situation. As apparently Peyton is mentoring the quarterback. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Which players have you hated see go to another team? But first, Pauly G is going to tell you about Passive Investor Network.
Yes, I am. Saturday, I went on their famous bus tour, and the Passive Investor Network showed me how they find properties for you to invest in, because they are all about real estate investment. And look, I mean, you've seen housing prices go up and up and up and up. On Saturday, these guys showed how they will find, scout out areas of town, essentially doing a little prospecting, and say, look, we know that this area is going to turn into, I don't know, maybe the next Heights. So you want to meet with the Passive Investor Network. They're going to personalize a five-year plan for you so that you can accrue some real wealth as you invest in real estate. And they take this thing out of your hands. I'm not smart when it comes to real estate. I'm not smart when it comes to a lot of different things. It's great to have people like the Passive Investor Network in your corner helping you. The PIN process, you want to meet with them, go to passiveinvestor.net. Again, passiveinvestor.net. See when the next bus tour is. It was a lot of fun. and you'll talk to Ron and he'll show you like just how they fix up some of these places. And I remember seeing one place, what it was 5 years before, and right next to it is what they can turn it into. And the place was going for, you know, almost, we're talking like 300. All of a sudden, this is what they can do for you, the Passive Investor Network. Check them out, passiveinvestor.net.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We all have athletes that we love. When they go to another team, it's a little bit painful. Even if they're very successful, even if they were cut by said team. For you, that was Tom Brady, right?
Yes.
It was a little painful. Peyton Manning was very difficult on me.
Yeah, especially.
I knew it was time. I knew what the Colts had coming. I knew it was the right move.
And now he's
still
painful. Now he's a Bronco.
Broncos legend. James Palmer, who actually used to work here in Houston. You know James,
I
right?
love James. Great guy.
James is really cool. Tweeted, Russell Wilson said Peyton Manning, quote, has taken me under his wing in kind of a beautiful way. Vomit. Since he arrived in Denver. They've sat down to watch film and talk together.
In a beautiful way.
Yeah, it says in a beautiful
what
way.
What does that mean?
It's a great question. It's the most Russell Wilson thing ever. They've sat down to watch film and talk together. Wilson said he likes learning from Manning. The plan is to do it more in the future.
In a beautiful way.
I'm a little surprised because Manning doesn't seem like he would gel with Wilson, if that makes sense. Manning's blue collar, more of a keep it real guy. Russell seems like a nice guy, but as you've said, a little bit corny, right?
A little bit.
Right.
So the thing with him.
Just disappointed in you, Peyton. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I think before you actually get to know Russell Wilson or follow Russell Wilson, before you're like, wait a second, why do all his teammates with the Legion of Boom dislike him? I mean, he's a good quarterback, and clearly they're lucky to have someone like that helping them out on their team. So from afar, I think you look at Russ and you're like, okay. But there was a moment last season where you saw DK Metcalf on the sideline. He was talking with Geno Smith. It was during a game where Russell Wilson was playing, and he was playing poorly. DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson were supposed to be, at one point, per Russell Wilson, the next Joe Montana to Jerry Rice.
They were going to be BFFs.
They went to Mexico together. Russell Wilson taught DK how to swim. That story was blown up. I'm sure DK was thrilled about that.
Oh, God.
And I remember we did an interview with DK, and DK told, like, we asked DK, so would you ever want Russell Wilson to teach you anything else? And DK paused, and then he chuckled, and he's like, nah, I don't think so. And I just laughed at that, and I think he was having a little bit of fun, too. But I think for everyone with Russ, you get excited, then you meet him, and you're like, oh. So I don't think that's there with Peyton Manning yet, but I saw that, and just to see that it's going to be beautiful.
I hope
Peyton
that it will be. The only thing
that was something else.
I was thinking of the fact that maybe this is something where Peyton is finally ready to get into some sort of front office role because he's had offers for years. Does he view this as a way to begin the process of having the reputation and the MO? Because Peyton Manning's reputation and MO is not one of a guy that's going to sit around and help.
Probably. I think Denver is definitely an opportunity for someone. I mean, we'll see what owner steps in. But with John Elway taking a step back, I forget who the guy that their general manager is. George Patton, right? But not the general George Patton. He's taken over.
I thought it was the general.
No, that would be sick,
a lot of
right?
leadership that you just got.
Oh, you say you could not bring George Patton from the Allied powers in World War II in today's America.
How do you know so much about World War II?
Want me to tell you a really, like, this is a story that in 2022 would have gone haywire, but this was even a big deal back then. So General Patton was like the supreme, like, general of the Allied forces in Europe
during World War II, and he encountered a shell-shocked soldier, and he basically slapped him because he thought he was like a wuss.
Oh.
And then he essentially got just disgraced and was essentially stripped of his rank in that moment. Like, he was kind of just, like, pushed off to the side. So imagine that George Patton dealing with millionaire athletes.
Wait, George Patton got stripped of all of his things? So he got, like, Bobby Knighted? Like, he literally, what happened to Bobby Knight happened to George Patton?
George S. Patton? Yes, he slapped a person who was shell-shocked.
And got stripped of all of his, he got discharged?
I don't know if he was officially discharged, but they basically, like, pushed him off to the side. They're like, hey, bro. Like,
George Patton, am I right?
Yeah.
Did he also throw a chair across the
No, he didn't
Eastern
throw a chair. Hey, yeah, he threw a chair at the Germans.
That's how you build young men up into... who they need to be is you discipline them hard.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, Joel Embiid, how about this? Wins a very special award, the most valuable, correct me if I'm wrong on how I say this, Philadelphian?
Yes. Because he wanted to win the MVP, so they gave him the MVP.
Of
the most valuable Philadelphian. Well, it's the MVP. The most valuable Philadelphian.
It is technically MVP.
This is just another in a long line of Philly being a really low-key, embarrassing sports town. I mean, my God, one of the statues that Philadelphia has of its athletes, I think they have a Joe Louis statue, they have a Nick Foles and Doug Peterson statue, and they have a statue of Rocky Balboa, who's not real. So there's that, and now you throw in this fake award to appease Joel Embiid. Most valuable
Philadelphia doesn't strike me as a city that would be all about participation trophies.
Well, in this situation, they made an exception.
Who is the current most valuable Houstonian? Oh, who is our MVH?
MVH, okay. Well, I mean, by default, it has to be an Astro, right?
I mean, I would say Altuve, and it's no question. Am I wrong?
You could argue Verlander? Yeah. I think if you really wanted to. Kelvin Sampson? With what he's done with the Cougars basketball program over the last couple of years?
Yeah.
Is this a body of work thing, or is it a 2022?
It should be a 2022 thing, then.
Okay. 2022.
Because Sampson, he's thrown his hat in the ring with, with the Cougars run. Verlander's been the best Astro, I'd say, so far this year.
Yeah. There is no Texan.
There is literally not a single Texan.
There isn't a Texan.
Yeah.
Nope.
Derek Stingley.
It could be. Could be.
Worst in the clubhouse.
Which is the rookie that said Texas has got pretty houses and pretty girls?
Oh, I don't know. Who said that? That's
He's
I'm
right.
buying his jersey.
It was the media availability.
He's
it
right.
was really funny.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Jalen Green for the Rockets, I guess. I mean, he had a great finish to the season. If we're talking about just 2022, then Jalen Green is definitely at the focal point of that. I guess he was on the Bill Simmons podcast.
I think
Bill was trying to pander a little bit after basically joking and saying bleep you. Jalen
Green. He
literally
did say bleep you.
Yeah, he did. He said bleep. He said bleep Jalen Green. That's what he said.
It was Damian Pierce. They got pretty houses and pretty girls, so I'm ready to go, he said.
Running back one. There
Let's
we go.
Let's do it.
I saw that Nick Caserio on I guess this was on the flagship, was asked about Damian Pierce and someone, there was a comparison made to Mark Ingram, and he's like, no, I'm not going to compare him to Mark Ingram yet. Does he mean like Mark Ingram from like the way that he plays, or Mark Ingram just because Mark Ingram's a funny guy?
Or I thought you were going to say
Big Trust,
prime
right?
Mark Ingram, or the Mark Ingram for the Texans?
Ooh.
Mark Ingram, Texans legend.
Gets a tribute video.
I remember last year, I was like, you know what?
I will remember you.
The Texans are losing, but I really like Philip Lindsay. I like Mark Ingram. At least they have some good guys at the podium. And now, RIP, they're not dead. They're just not here anymore. Who is the most valuable Houstonian?
That's what a texter
could
said.
Be Mattress Mack.
Yeah, I mean, he literally is the most valuable.
I mean, he's
valuable.
The most valuable.
Yeah, if we're branching out to not just athletes, because I think I haven't read the fine print on the MVP that Joel Embiid won, but I think he won it out of all Philadelphians. Correct?
Great.
It wasn't just Bryce Harper and, you know, whoever's on the Flyers. He's the best citizen of Philadelphia.
He is better than the politicians, police officers, the kids,
the teachers,
heroic cancer,
we have three,
first responders.
Three separate texters put in Mattress Mack. I gotta say, like, that is something. That is something here. Most valuable Houstonian, he's probably got to be, right? Unless, what, you put a Fertitta in there?
Yeah, no. Fertitta. I would say, though, if you go that angle, you got to go Jim Crane. You could not, however, go Cal McNair.
But Fertitta, he probably has more money, so he probably is technically more valuable.
Fertitta has restaurants and casinos.
We're not doing the Forbes list. We're doing the most valuable Houstonian.
A very astute observation by Professor Mapes. All right.
Alfred Blue tribute.
Coming up, Alfred Blue.
I made one, actually.
Never forget, O'Brien.
I'm not even kidding. I made an Alfred Blue tribute song.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Jimbo and Saban beef continues. But first, PG, what you got on a little bit of Showtime boxing action,
fight,
man?
Fight, 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 fight. It's the fight on Showtime. It's the fight between two guys. It's Davis. It's Romero. Fight, 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 fight. Listen, guys. Five-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis is defending his WBA lightweight title against number one ranked contender Rolando Romero. They're going to fight each other live on pay-per-view, 8 o'clock Central Time this Saturday. It's at Showtime.com to order now. So Gervonta Tank Davis, Tank is a badass nickname. He is boxing's hottest young attraction. The hottest young attraction, guys. You don't want to miss this. And it's going to be at the Barclays Center, so it's going to be in Brooklyn. 12 rounds, weight limit of 135 pounds. Davis, 26-0, 24 knockouts. Don't you want to see a knockout in a fight that you're going to pay a pay-per-view for? Yeah, you want to see someone hit the canvas. So we'll see if Rolando Romero can keep up with Gervonta Tank Davis. Again, Showtime.com to order now. It's Saturday, 8 o'clock Central.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
By now, we've all heard of the beef between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Nick Saban, of course, saying that A&M bought their players. Jimbo Fisher turning around and saying the word despicable 30 times regarding Nick Saban. It was a whole thing.
Do we have more beef?
We have some possible more beef. A couple of minutes ago, Bruce Feldman tweeted that four-star quarterback Eli Holstein, ranked as the number 54 overall prospect in the 2023 class, has committed to Alabama. The 6'4", 225-pound Louisiana native had decommitted from Texas A&M in March. Okay. From Aggies to Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
During a regular year, you have a couple of those guys that say they're going to Georgia, then go to Bama. They say they're going to Florida, then they go to UCLA, whatever. But given the beef, given the circumstances, does this make the beef even beefier? I ask Sean
and
Paul.
It definitely does. And listen, if you're out there, you little Aggie scamps, you know, you're thinking to yourself, yeah, we ride with Jimbo Fisher. I'm just going to encourage you to not go on social media and try to intimidate this person into going back to Texas A&M.
Very weird when adults do that.
I know some of you are thinking about it. You know you're thinking about it too. Don't do it.
This
okay?
isn't where we need the 12th man.
No.
Not in the recruiting
okay?
game.
Put the Aggie ring back in the box. Sit down. Relax. Have a nice sweet tea on this cool, brisk Houston afternoon. Don't do it.
It is very weird, and there was a really good article in The Athletic about just some specific incidents and how deep that beef goes back between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. But if you have more guys doing that, I think that makes that rivalry between those two, not that Alabama and A&M is some hot rivalry, but you know what I mean. It does make the beef even beefier.
Beefy beef.
We love
tasty.
Beefy beef. So go ahead, PG.
We have a phone call.
Oh, I didn't see.
The most valuable Houstonian Roger. Conversation. Roger calling in at 713-580-3776, 713-580-ESPN. What's going on, Roger?
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Doing
hey.
Well.
Good. Hey, so I'm surprised. I'm listening to you.
What?
Nah.
What?
I'm surprised that the young lady on the station, I'm not mentioning a little black girl in the Woodlands that have won a lot, the most.
Oh, Simone Biles. There we go.
Simone is a great call for most valuable Houstonian. That's a great one. Thank you, Roger. That's a major thing for me to miss. Yes. Simone Biles definitely could be our MVH for sure.
Weird way to describe her, the way that you went about it, Roger. Let's at least acknowledge that elephant in the room. But can Simone Biles still be the most valuable Houstonian after getting the spins?
Robert Martinez said the general, meaning John McClane. In the media world, he's definitely
he ain't on this station, so that is erroneous.
Erroneous. Yeah, Simone Biles definitely.
No, she got the spins. She can't be it anymore.
Well,
you know?
If we're talking about...
Can't do it.
I was going to say, does the Woodlands count? Most valuable Woodlandser, maybe?
Yeah. Right. Ooh, look at me. I live in the fancy suburb of Houston. Ooh.
Somebody tweeted me and said, you. I don't know if I count.
What? I mean, you're a TV star now.
I think I'm on my way there. But something, by the way, that men just tweet at any woman. Most valuable.
Shoot your shot.
Most valuable.
If you look like Kevin Costner, you might have a chance.
His phone number's right there. You can call him.
I do like Kevin Costner. There's something about him.
Hey, want to have some dreams in my field?
Some dreams in my field.
That I don't know. I'm sorry.
Bad.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That was bad. All right, it is time.
Throw myself out of the window right now.
It is time now for some garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, I got a question for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, what's up?
So, I'm a big fan of Breaking Bad. I'm a big fan of Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul had its mid-season finale last night, and I will not drop any spoilers on you. All I will tell you is that it has an exceptionally compelling villain who is absolutely terrifying. And last night, there was an example of that. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Has there been any fictional villain in a movie, could be a horror movie, could be an action movie, that has legitimately terrified you?
You know what? There's a movie called Mousetrap.
Mousetrap? Wait, I remember Mousetrap. It was like a late 90s movie?
Yes, it was 1997.
Okay.
And there was an actor in it, and I'm trying to find his IMDb right now.
Is that Christopher Lee?
He was also in Christmas Vacation.
Oh.
He's an old man.
Old man.
And really, really, really creepy.
Okay, so the old guy in, of
in
all
Mousetrap,
movies.
In Mousetrap, and then Christmas Vacation, and I'm going to look
up
his name.
Who was he in Christmas Vacation?
William Hickey?
William?
He was the uncle in Christmas Vacation.
Oh, he was Uncle Frank?
They couldn't hear. She couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant.
He really creeps me out. Like, in a really big way.
He said grace!
It's the way that his mouth moves. And
I didn't know he was
he,
the bad guy in that movie.
He's not a bad guy. That's the point.
Oh.
Is bad guys in movies, it kind of like, I don't care when somebody gets murdered on screen, but if an animal dies, then I'm a mess.
Murder so mean.
Villains do not scare me.
Except
but
for
this
when I
guy,
see it on screen.
This guy scared the crap out of me.
Wow. William Hickey, yeah. Of all people. Yeah. Okay. Sean, was there ever a fictional villain that absolutely terrified you?
Now I'm searching through kids' movies because that would be when I get most terrified from television screen. I don't know. Jafar was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Didn't like Jafar.
I'm a Jafar fan. Yeah.
But Gus Fring, as far as like the actual answer, Gustavo Fring was from Breaking Bad, was very good.
Gus Fring, scary. Also, in last night's episode.
No spoilers, please.
No spoilers. I mean, if you've been watching
the
show, he's...
I haven't been watching.
He's part of the greater Breaking Bad expanded universe, which is where Better Call Saul is. Yeah, if you got to do a kids movie one,
Ursula from Little Mermaid?
I don't know. Her,
she's pretty scary. She took her voice.
She did.
And then almost took her man.
Ariel was horny. And
she
like,
took her voice and almost took her man.
Ariel sold her soul to get like, because she thought like Eric was hot. Like, because she was hounding. Like, let's be honest here.
Well, because she'd literally never seen a human man before. She fell in love with literally the first human being she ever saw.
Yeah, what
she
if was Eric horny. Was ugly?
She was horny.
Yeah.
She's probably the horniest Disney princess.
Thirst.
Yeah. The thirst trap. 100%. What about you? Is it that guy?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Because you threw a curveball with the Disney one.
Oh, you don't have to go Disney.
It's probably Scar.
Oh.
But I kind of liked Scar, so.
He's edgy.
Yeah. He seemed like he had
good
takes.
How you are with women. The ones that scare you are the ones you want the most.
I mean, look, Scar had good ideas for Pride Rock, you know?
And he won.
Yeah.
Like, for most of the movie, he won.
He was more egalitarian than Mufasa was. Let's be honest now. Mufasa wanted to subjugate everyone that wasn't a lion, and Scar was like, no, hyenas, you guys are cool. Like, what's up?
Meanwhile, to go back to my home state, speaking of villains, a little bit of romance with these villains, Casey and Vicky White, no relation. They're the jail corrections officer and the inmate that escaped together as part of their love story. They ended their love story in Evansville, Indiana. Vicky took her own life. Rest in peace to Vicky, who made a very strange decision. But the Evansville, Indiana motel room, where former jail boss Vicky White and her convict boo, Casey White, stayed, now has a long wait list. At least 70 true crime aficionados, no, I'm not one of them, are on a wait list to stay at room 150 at the Motel 41 in Evansville, where the two lovebirds spent their final days together.
Wait, you're not on this waiting list?
I'm not on the wait list
yet. I thought that's for the Indy 500. You're going to stay in Evansville and drive you. Over. I thought that was the plan.
Why, Paul, why are you looking at me like that? I'm not on the wait list. You both think I'm on the wait list.
I do think I'm on the wait list.
They both think I'm on the wait list to stay in Vicky and Casey White's hotel room.
You denied it before anyone accused you of anything.
With this stuff.
I am. But I'm, you know, so far.
So
it's got to live, love,
honestly, left. Until just now, Vanessa, I thought you were going back for the Indy 500. Now I think I know what you're going back for.
I will tell you that I've heard it's
this is where
$63 a night. And I've heard that the price has gone up to $100.
Wow. Unbelievable. That's actually a bargain, you know?
But
especially for
now,
Indy 500 weekend. And because someone got shot and killed in it, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, she shot herself in the truck. That was right. The last
But
place
this is
they
where
stayed,
they had
right?
sex.
Right, getting a little
this
dark.
Is where they had sex for the last time. So
we don't know that's hearsay.
They weren't married.
We don't know if they copulated.
They weren't there. Married.
But yeah. it's only
don't do that before
I've
marriage.
I've heard it's up to $100 a night, and it is in Evansville, Indiana.
Sources say it's $100.
Sources say you know this definitively.
The staffers had to remove the room number on the door after someone tried to swipe it
you.
As a souvenir.
Yes, yes, you did. How much would that have gone for online, too?
Oh, the sad thing is probably...
A good amount.
Probably a lot. Probably a lot.
Oh, what else do we have here? Oh, yeah, there's a thing called monkeypox now, so...
We talked about that before the show.
Are you guys
scared of monkeypox?
Yeah, get ready. You know, we're all going to have to quarantine again.
Yeah.
Here comes another lockdown.
I saw pictures of a guy whose hand is all screwed up. I don't know if it was from monkeypox, but people said it was from monkeypox. I did no research. I shouldn't be saying this into a microphone, but if that's what monkeypox is, I'm terrified.
Just prepare. Don't do that.
I just spread misinformation.
You did,
you did, Sean.
Cancel.
This is going to get flagged on
the
show. Hell
no, brother. That's fake news.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of Evansville, Indiana. All right, that's been a Tuesday on Vanessa
what
and
weird,
Galant.
What a weird guy.
I'm Vanessa. That's Paul. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am not going to stay at that hotel
See,
room.
See, like, you're just... the lady dog protest. Too much.
As you all know. All right, you got Jeremy Branham, you have Joel Blank, and the Killer Bees from 12 to 3 up next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have
Peace.
A good day.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.